Welcome. You are listening to Aftersight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith, amateur radio operator W0NX, featuring the February 2025 The Spectrum Monitor. We'll begin by finishing Radio 101 by Ken Reitz, KS4CR, AM-FM HD Radio Today. In fact, you're better off just tuning around both AM and FM bands to see what's actually on the air in your area. The first experiments in HD radio broadcasting took place in Washington, D.C. at WAMU-FM, a public radio station at American University in 2004. I first reviewed HD radio reception 19 years ago in the April 2006 issue of Monitoring Times, before set-top receivers were available, using a Kenwood EZ500 AM-FM HD in-dash auto radio, which sold at the time for $250, $400 in today's money. Since it was a car radio, I powered it through an Astron RS-12 power supply, took the line-out audio from the radio, and put it through the home stereo and hooked it up to an amplified FM antenna on a rotator. The problem at that time was that there were very few FM stations operating in the HD radio mode. When conditions were just right, I could receive the HD radio signal, and it was good audio, but not the CD quality audio touted originally by Ubiquiti. Since that time, I have reviewed more than a dozen HD radio capable AM-FM receivers, and currently use the HD radio built into our car for on-the-road tests, a Spark SHD-T750 desktop AM-FM radio, and a Sangean HD-T20 component AM-FM HD receiver. It has no built-in amplifier, and is intended to be connected to a stereo amplifier. I use a combination of antennas for reception tests, including large wire antennas, an indoor passive loop, and an amplified outdoor loop antenna on a rotator for AM tests, as well as an amplified multi-element VHF TV antenna that covers the FM band and is on a rotator. I happen to be 100 miles from the only AM station broadcasting full-time in the HD radio format, known to the FCC as MA3 mode, WSHE Frederick, Maryland, formerly WWFD, a Hubbard broadcasting station that programs a format they call the Gamut, a potpourri of popular music over the last five decades. At 4.3 kilowatts daytime and 430 watts at night, it's never been an easy catch. When daytime conditions are just right, and I'm using the northeast-southwest long wire, the signal is sometimes strong enough to lock in the signal on the Spark SHD-T750 and display the graphics and station information on the radio's screen. A recent band search during the daytime on the car radio found no AM-HD radio signals. Not a surprise, because this is a rural area, and there are no AM stations in our 500-square-mile county. A search of the FM band on the car radio found three HD radio signals, one in each of three directions away from my location. In all three cases, while the HD radio icon was lit and a second channel was indicated, turning to that channel yielded either no audio or occasional audio. This has always been the problem with hybrid HD radio signals, where the station is transmitting in both analog and digital modes, with the digital modes putting out a reduced signal. A recent AM search on the Spark during the day in late December yielded no other HD radio signals besides the occasional lock on WSHE, and a flicker of the HD radio icon on 1,650 kilohertz, during the transition from afternoon to night, using the northeast-southwest long wire. The analog audio could be heard in French, which helped ID it as CKZW, 1,650 kHz, 1 kilowatt HD radio from Montreal, Quebec, a religious station, and one of the few Canadian HD radio stations I've ever heard of. At a distance of 565 miles, the flickering signal didn't last, but it was quite interesting to see. Time marches on. As much as I like playing with radios and antennas, sometimes I'd rather just listen to the programming in stereo, without fading, without signal dropouts or interference, and without extensive radios and extensive antennas. That's when the MyTuner app on my Roku stick comes into play. The stick, $45 on Amazon, plugs into an available HDMI jack on the back of your TV and accesses your home router via Bluetooth. Once installed, go to the search settings on the Roku and find the MyTuner app. Install the app on your Roku device, a couple of clicks with the Roku remote, and then start searching for your favorite AM, FM, and shortwave radio stations. Add them to your favorites list, and you can jump from WRMI to VOA Africa to BBC World Service to Radio New Zealand and thousands more. For full stereo audio, I route the audio out of the TV via fiber optic cable to the stereo. Using the TV audio button on the remote, I can listen to the MyTuner app at full audio spectrum and volume, even if the TV is off. I use the picture off function on the TV remote to turn off the screen. This is a particularly good solution for radio fans who have downsized, can't have extensive outdoor antennas, and still want to enjoy listening to music and news from around the world in all the world's languages. It's also a good solution to those who found that their dedicated internet Wi-Fi radios no longer function. At less than half the price of a refurbished Grace Digital Mondo internet radio, the Roku stick isn't just for streaming radio stations. You can also add all of your favorite pay or free streaming TV services as well. The MyTuner app solution is one that didn't exist 20 years ago. While there was limited streaming online, the fight for dashboard dominance was between the fledgling Sirius and XM satellite radio companies, since merged as one, and the new terrestrial technology, HD radio. But the future of in-dash radio is essentially no radio, pioneered by the likes of Tesla Motors, which, while it has an actual FM tuner built in, has no AM tuner. Instead, listeners can select from thousands of AM and FM stations streaming online, just as you might with the MyTuner app. While Xperi fights desperately for dashboard dominance with its connected car in-dash solution, consumers have long ago taken the initiative by streaming content into their car stereo through their phones, using Spotify, Pandora, MyTuner, and similar apps, bypassing the built-in tuners of vehicles altogether. Simply using the car's stereo amp and amazing number of speakers that are now standard equipment. Even if Congress mandates what car makers must include in their entertainment systems, consumers are still free to forge ahead, listening to what they want to hear in the way that they want to hear it. According to Radio Industry Statistics Canada, in 2022, there are approximately 950 radio stations in Canada. According to FCC records, there are more than 17,000 U.S. radio stations, not including translators and boosters, which can't originate programming, operating as of September 30th, 2024. After 23 years of being offered to the combined 18,000 North American radio stations, according to Xperi, only 2,700 stations broadcast in the HD radio format. Why has there been so little acceptance of this broadcast mode? Several years ago, I surveyed a few large non-commercial radio stations in my region of the country that did not broadcast in the HD radio format and asked why they didn't. The answers included, "We pride ourselves in the audio quality of our analog signal and see no significant increase in audio quality that would justify the added expense of HD radio broadcasting. There aren't enough home HD radio capable receivers to make the switch worthwhile. Where's the wow factor?" The responses were very similar to those that U.S. shortwave station managers made when I asked why they had not adopted the Digital Radio Mondial, DRM, broadcast mode for their stations. What does this mean for the future of HD radio? My guess is no change, at least in the foreseeable future. It's unlikely that the FCC will ever mandate an end date for analog AM or FM, as some countries have. And this is not like the digital switch for OTA TV in 2009. There's no hurry. The hybrid system is working well for those who have adopted the HD radio format, and it's working well for those stations that haven't. After 23 years, the FCC is tentatively venturing into the all-digital MA3 mode for AM. There has certainly not been any clamor for change in the broadcast industry, the radio manufacturing industry, or from consumers. While the radio industry as a whole is in a slow state of flux, barring cataclysmic economic conditions, there is little impetus for drastic change. And now, HF radio monitoring professionalized, driving the HF bandwagon once again, by George Viesala. In December 2024, the latest batch of the hotly anticipated annual Klingenfuss radio publications came out. In the main, the 2025 offering from Germany comprises of the following items, containing, according to the blurb, secret HF signals and frequencies for SDR fun. Well, not so secret anymore when using these. The 2025 Shortwave Frequency Guide, the 2025-26 Guide to Utility Radio Stations, the 2025 Super Frequency List on CD, plus the 2025 Frequency Database for the Perseus LF-MF-HF Software-Defined Receiver, the 1997 to 2025 digital data decoder screenshots on USB stick, 28,000 plus from 600 plus stations. The Klingenfuss 2025 Shortwave Frequency Guide, SFG. The Klingenfuss 2025 Shortwave Frequency Guide is the 29th edition of this global HF frequency listing. It runs to 336 pages, the same length as the 2024 version. Its dimensions are 17 by 24 by 2 centimeters, and it weighs in at 581 grams. The pages are environmentally friendly, i.e., unvarnished. This year's cover shows a picture relating to the Vanuatu Broadcasting and Television Corporation. The text, "You Wantum Yumi Wak Tuketa," in the Bislama, English-based Creole language, means "You want us to work together," a great motto for international radio in a troubled world. The layout and structure of the book are similar to previous editions. It takes dedication to compile a hefty HF guide like this, and this is evident in its pages. In short, an impressive amount of reliable and tried-and-tested, evidence-based information has, once again, been condensed clearly and in a logical format by Jörg Klingenfuss and his team of dedicated global experts and radio monitors. Regarding the latter, it is worth taking a quick look at the who-is-who of well-known international radio enthusiasts and professional monitors, whose conscientious work contributed to the latest guide. Over the last few years, some overall tendencies have emerged in this dependable yearly manual. Among these are, for example, the length and dependability of the listings, the delivery of much-needed critical political and historical context to many of the entries, the value of the wealth of extra information provided, most of which is not to be found elsewhere, the emphasis on modern systems, such as receiving transmissions via the Kiwi SDR, web-based software-defined receivers network, and last but not least, the foregrounding of current and developing digital data transmissions, plus a look at the future of HF radio. There is a balance to be struck here. On the one hand, Jörg Klingenfuss does, of course, promote, for obvious reasons, the continued relevance of HF over-the-air radio transmissions, traditional DXing, as it were. On the other hand, there is also a strong current here, and on the website, promoting internet-based methods, such as web SDRs, Kiwi SDR, and so on, all of which are not, of course, real radio in the eyes of many. In fact, on the covers of the books under review here, they are being advertised as conducive to SDR fun, simply because Klingenfuss needs to go with the times, as it were, while, therefore, on the other hand, the books point to the many exposures and downsides of the internet and online-based radio, like susceptibility to censorship and switch-off, unequal global distribution, or tracking. It also extols the very virtues of the medium it criticizes. It's a balancing act that perhaps only your Klingenfuss can pull off with credibility. These trends and currents continue and are further expanded in this year's editions. The references throughout the guides to ionospheric conditions determined by the current solar cycle 25 both set the tone for using HF and perfectly encapsulate the excitement of new technologies and the irreplaceability of broadcast DXing and utility monitoring from home. The cover of the 2025-26 Guide to Utility Radio Stations consolidates this theme. As before, the 2025 SFG relies on a wealth of first-rate screenshots to make its point, and to whet the appetite of every self-respecting radio enthusiast. The screen grabs are not just here for decoration. They shed light on points of technology and show what is possible on HF. This is evident in the introductory chapters on utility and broadcast signals monitoring, which are must-read sections with uber-informative content, which is far in excess of what many may reasonably have expected from a frequency guide like this. Section 2.5 on radio services, for instance, opens the door wide to numerous data stations, like HF email, radiograms, beacons, maritime mobile radio, global humanitarian services, aeronautical and disaster comms, military, meteorological, and standard frequency and time signal providers. The beginner in this evergreen hobby will find, in the introductory chapters, all the information they could possibly require to understand the technical aspects of propagation and modulation, automatic monitoring and direction finding, time difference on arrival features, and much else besides, all eloquently illustrated with appropriate screenshots and graphs. Frequency listings, utility, and broadcast. The principal part of the Klingenfuss 2025 Shortwave Frequency Guide opens with a frequency list of utility stations and the frequency list of broadcast radio stations. The utility table ranges from pages 52 to 194 and covers emissions from 20 to 27,870 kHz, while the much shorter broadcast stations list occupies transmissions from 2,310 to 26,040 kHz. As usual, all entries are clearly organized in the format of frequency, call sign, station name, ITU classifier, mode, and further details. If it's on the air, it's in Klingenfuss. At the end of each section, there is further information, bringing this book to the forefront of contemporary developments. The bit I enjoyed most here was the short section on the use of generative artificial intelligence, AI, models in radio traffic monitoring and frequency analysis, courtesy of Rolf Hange, one of the SFG's contributors. Together with other sections in this book, this seriously made me want to learn more about the functions of professional digital data decoders, such as Go-To Monitor. Be sure not to miss out on the ancillary information on both these lists for plenty of captivating background detail on how the data are presented, and also some key information on DRM and the future of shortwave broadcasting. The tenor here is that professional digital utility station radio nets are still steadily on the rise. Of course they are, especially in this new post-truth world order. For me, one of the best parts of the book lies obscured here. This is the provision of some much-needed context of such matters as the physical limits of the HF spectrum, the legacy of the Cold War, issues of service provision, censorships, and propaganda, and the demise of the DRM format, among other topics. Geopolitical embedding and useful appendices. I strongly recommend that you take a look at these pages before you check out the frequency lists. Section 4.4 in particular on Internet, SATCOM, and HF radio in dictatorships, censorship of the Internet and restricted online access versus free worldwide shortwave reception for everybody, is a necessary overture to pursuing a hobby that lives inside and through politics and international relations. No other guide, as far as I know, contains such eye-opening details, and Jörg Klingenfuss deserves high praise for reminding us of this vital framework. Shortwave does not track you. You do not have to open an account, log in, or submit to other such data gangstery, or be cookie-fied. Last but certainly not least, there are the appendices from page 280 onwards. Transmission sites are listed here, as are broadcast stations and clandestine stations. Among the latter, there are some great finds. Take a look at pages 286 to 294 and wonder at the stunning dominance on the short waves under the entry of China, communist, undemocratic. The entry for Germany always makes me sad. It shows that, since the foolish withdrawal of Deutsche Welle from shortwave, the broadcaster once again merits only one moniker. Germany, Null's Points. Compare this with the BBC and other listings here and weep, my German friends. In a world of perfidious, expanding Russian, Chinese, and North Korean influence, this is truly unforgivable. I'll switch to Korea, communist, undemocratic, now, I think. Their entry is actually longer. I do like it when HF reception is evidenced via screenshots, and this is the guide for you if you enjoy this too. The same goes for the Klingenfuss digital data decoder screenshots list on a USB stick for the discerning analyst, sold separately at 210 euros. Following a sample of his best screen grabs, Jörg Klingenfuss finishes this volume by providing many more additional details, like guides to common acronyms, languages, names, and target area abbreviations, clandestine stations, and much more. We'll continue this article next time. Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.